As usual, Sakshi gives me an assignment. So, let's see how it turns out. So, there are different enemies of the living entity. So, one of them is kama, lust. That's an enemy for the conditioned soul who's trying to become liberated. And a good example of kama or lust would be Ravana. That although he had gotten benedictions from Lord Brahma, and because he had practically conquered the universe, he even almost defeated Lord Shiva. Not quite. He almost defeated Lord Shiva, but he did get from him a weapon. So Ravana was quite a powerful man. But he made two big mistakes. The first big mistake he made is when he committed the act of rape against a apsara named Rambha. Rambha was the consort of Nalakuvra from Nalakuvra and Manigriva. Very interesting. We're going to hear about them coming up. And so Nalakuvra, since he's the son of Kuvera, so he's considered a powerful demigod. So when Rambha was raped by Ravan, then Nalakuvra cursed Ravan that if you ever do this again to any woman, you will die. You will be destroyed. Now, Ravana thought that he was practically invincible, but he did have some respect for the powers of the rishis and demigods. So he said, better to be safe than sorry. So his next big mistake, as you well know, was trying to kidnap Sita. Everybody say
Sita.
Very good. Yes. That was his ultimate downfall. He was trying to take the goddess of fortune. But the goddess of fortune is only the property of who? Or Narayan. Right. Very good. She is the only person, and she will only go with Narayan or Vishnu. In fact, during the churning of the ocean of milk, Lakshmi was produced from that churning. And she looked at all the demigods and all the demons, and she was trying to select a proper husband. She looked at the demons. No. She looked at all the demigods. Yeah. But when she saw Lord Vishnu, immediately she knew, here is my husband. So Sita is also the goddess of fortune. She is also Lakshmi. Lord Ram has his own spiritual planet. And there, on that planet, Ram is in his four-handed Narayana form, and Sita is in her original Lakshmi form on that planet. So, ever since Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, so many of his own people told him, you're making a mistake. So many his brothers told him, that you're losing everything all because you're all attached to this Sita. But Ravana could not listen. And that's the problem with lust. When you're under the sway of control of lust, you lose your intelligence. And even people try to point out something that's good for you, you can't hear it. Because that lust, this makes you like a mad dog. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are three gates to hell. Is that Rukmini? This is my daughter's childhood friend from Los Angeles. Let's give her a big Hari Bol. They were such good friends. Nice to see you, Rukmini. Jai. You came alone or with... Okay. Well, I'm glad you came, because this is the best program. Until the next one. Right, Barsha? Yes. Every program we have to improve. So Krishna says there are three gates leading to hell. What are they?
Lust, greed, and anger.
Excellent. We have a scholar. I like this. Somebody actually reads Bhagavad Gita. I like this. Very good, Roberto. Excellent. Huh? Very good. So, Krishna then says every sane person should give up these three gates. So the next one, Krodha. Everybody say.
Krodha.
That's anger. Okay? And a good example of anger would be Jarasandha. Now, when did Jarasandha get angry? Here's what happened. Jarasandha had two daughters, Asti and Prapti. And he gave them to his good friend. Who was Jarasandha's good friend? Kamsa. He gave his two daughters to marry Kamsa. But something happened to Kamsa. What happened? Loving? What happened to Kamsa? He went on vacation? What happened? Nobody knows what happened to Kamsa? What happened to him? You know the answer. By who? That's important. He was killed by Krishna. That's an important point. Whoa, okay. So, in Vedic culture, a woman is always protected. Kamsa didn't have any sons. So the two daughters had no alternative but to go back to daddy. And if a daughter has to go back and stay with daddy, that's a problem. So Jarasandha got very angry at Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. And he decided, I am going to rid the earth of all the Yadu dynasty, starting with Krishna. So Jarasandha attacked Mathura. At this time, after Krishna killed Kamsa, he was reunited with who? Who was he reunited with?
Pandavas?
No, when Krishna killed Kamsa, Krishna was reunited with Devaki, Vasudev, who he hasn't seen in 11 years, correct? Because right after birth, Krishna was switched, right? So for 11 years, Devaki and Vasudev have not seen Krishna. You can imagine if you have a baby and right if it's born, it's given to somebody else. It's quite a traumatic experience. So when Krishna killed Kamsa, then Krishna was reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki. And that's when Yashoda and Nanda found out that they weren't really Krishna's parents. The whole thing was revealed. And Krishna told Yashoda and Nanda, now I'm going to spend some time with Vasudeva and Devaki, my real parents, because for 11 years, they've been missing me. So Krishna stayed in Mathura. So Jarasandha attacked Mathura. Now, who can tell me what was the original reason why Krishna appeared? What was the original reason? Save Mother Earth. What was Mother Earth's distress? Yes, too many demons. Too many demons. Like here, there's no demons here. We're all devotees, right? Right. If one demon entered the room, we'd all feel uneasy. So Mother Earth was feeling unbearable burden because there were so many demons and they were building up the military industrial complex. So Mother Earth, that was why she went to Lord Brahma, and that's why Lord Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and the demigods prayed, and Krishna said, yes, I will relieve the burden of the earth by killing all the demons. So when Jarasandha attacked, Krishna, being very economical, said, if I don't kill Jarasandha, but I kill his army, he'll go back, assemble another army of demons, and I'll kill them. Right? That's exactly what happened. The first time Jarasandha attacked, Krishna and Balaram wiped out his whole army, and Jarasandha is just standing there by himself. So Jarasandha goes back, gets another army of demons, attacks 17 times. You would think after the first couple, he would have learned his lesson, right? But demons are stupid. 17 times he attacked, and each time Krishna killed his army, and Jarasandha had to go back wagging his tail. The 18th time, Mathura was attacked on two sides, Jarasandha and Kalayavana. And that's when Krishna displayed another one of his pastimes, your name, Ranchor. He fled the battle. So this anger of Jarasandha ultimately did him in, because who was the one that finally killed Jarasandha? What? Bhishma? Not Bhishma. Bhima. Yes, you meant to say Bhima. That's why I gave you another chance. And Sakshi's keeping score on her phone. You have a bell? No, that's all right. That's all right. It's okay. I was supposed to bring it. I always forget. Yes, you got to remind me. You're my secretary. Do your job. What do you think I'm paying you for? Okay. So Jarasandha's anger lasted throughout this whole period. He couldn't let go of that anger of Krishna. Okay, now we come to the next one. Lobha. Everybody say. Lobha. That is greed. So greed means that you want more and more and more maya. More and more material sense gratification. A Brahmana is satisfied with what Krishna gives him. He's not greedy. Like a person who's greedy, he has $1 million. No, I gotta have two. Would you be happy with $1 million? My God. Of course, yes. Yes, because brahmanas and devotees learn to be happy in any condition of life. Whatever they're in, they know that this is what Krishna has given, and they're satisfied. Like Sudama Brahman. Sudama Brahman was so poor, but he was happy. And he really didn't want to go see Krishna when his wife bugged him. Go see Krishna. That's what wives do. For their own good. Wives bug their husbands for their good, right? I know. I have lots of experience. Yes. Yes. For their own good. That's their investment. So, and then when Sudama got all the opulence, he didn't change. He didn't say, now I have to have two palaces. No, he was satisfied, whether poor or like. So, in the Krishna book, there's the story of the Shyamantaka jewel. And Shatrajit had gotten this very valuable jewel. And when he wore the jewel, it was so bright, everybody thought the sun god had come. So Satrajit came to Dwarka, and he was showing his Shyamantaka jewel. And all the citizens of Dwarka thought, the sun god has come to see Krishna. So Satrajit was greedy. What did he do? This jewel was very, very special. This jewel was producing gold. Wouldn't you love to have the Shyamantaka jewel? You would be caught, you'd be murdered. That's what's happened to Satrajit, by the way. If you had this Shyamantaka jewel, everybody would want it, right? There'd be a world war. We want the Shyamantaka jewel. So he had put it in the temple, and the brahmanas were doing different sacrifices, and it was producing 170 pounds of gold every day. So this was quite. And Krishna told Satrajit, Krishna said, you know what? The best of everything should be given to the king. Krishna is not the king of Dwarka. Who's the king of Dwarka? Nobody's reading their Krishna book. Ugrasena. Ugrasena is the father of Kamsa. Very good. So after Kamsa's death, because Ugrasena was put into prison by Kamsa. So after Kamsa's death, Ugrasena was installed as king of Mathura, and Mathura later on became Dwarka. So Krishna didn't want the jewel for himself, but he was trying to tell Satrajit that the jewel should be given to the king. That's proper. But Satrajit was too greedy. He wanted the jewel for himself. His brother one day, Satrajit's brother, Prasena, stole the jewel. And he went riding on a horse into the forest. And he was killed by a lion. But when he was killed by a lion, the great Jambavan killed the lion, took the jewel, and gave it to his son. Jambavan was not interested in the jewel because Jambavan was a great devotee of who? Ramachandra. He had fought in the war against Ravan. So, Jambavan is a great devotee. This Shyamantaka jewel, he gave it to his young child to play with. When Shatrajit's brother never returned, Shatrajit thought Krishna must have stole the jewel. So Shatrajit started to whisper gossips. And it spread. You know how rumors are. They didn't have cell phones back there. But the rumor spread throughout Dwarka that Krishna stole the Shyamantaka jewel. So Krishna had to clear his name. And so he went out to find Prasena. He found the dead body of Prasena, and he found the dead body of the lion, and he entered the cave, and then he found Jambavan, and they fought for 28 days, and Jambavan realized, this must be my Lord Ram, because nobody can fight me for 28 days. Impossible. So, Jambavan not only gave Krishna the jewel, but also gave him his daughter, Jambavati. So this was Krishna's second wife. Who was his first wife? Rukmini. Yes, Rukmini. And Rukmini is here also. Jai. So, Krishna came back with Jambavati, came back with the jewel, and gave it to Satrajit, who now is got big egg on his face. He's totally embarrassed. He has wrongly accused Krishna, and Krishna has come, given him the jewel. So what does Satrajit do? He thinks, I have to make up for my offense. So he gives his beautiful daughter. Who is Satrajit's beautiful daughter? It's the third queen, Satyabhama. Satyabhama was Satrajit's daughter, and Satrajit gave Krishna the jewel also because he had a saved face. So he gave his daughter. So he, now Krishna has three wives, Rukmini, Jambavati, and Satyabhama, and the jewel. And Krishna, because he's cool, Krishna says, nah, I'm not interested in the jewel. Keep it back in the temple. It's making money. It's everything's auspicious. And the story continues. But for our purposes, Satrajit, he had that greed that he couldn't do what Krishna asked him to do first because he was too attached to all the money he was getting, all the gold he was getting. Okay? Now number four. Number four, moha. Everybody say.
Moha.
Moha means pride or bewilderment or illusion. I have two examples from Krishna book. There was a king named Poundraka. And he was so much intoxicated with pride, so bewildered, he thought he was God. And not only did that, he made two extra fake arms so that he could be Narayan. That's how he had two fake arms, and he would go around, I am God. So he challenged Krishna. He sent a message to Krishna. Krishna, you are not Vasudev. I am Vasudev. And by the way, give me back my Sudarshan Chakra. So Krishna laughed when he got this message. Krishna was laughing like anything. So Krishna and Poundraka also said, and if you don't give me back my Sudarshan Chakra, then I'm going to fight and kill you. So Krishna said, very well. So Krishna came to the battlefield, and Poundraka again chastised Krishna with his two fake extra arms. And Poundraka said, I want my Sudarshan Chakra. Krishna said, very well. I hope you can handle it. So Krishna sent the Sudarshan Chakra, and it cut off Poundraka's head because he's unfit to carry the Sudarshan Chakra. He's just an ordinary conditioned soul. Just like Ravan was unfit to possess Sita. He was unfit. So, this pride, bewilderment, illusion, that was the downfall of Poundraka. Now, there was a demigod who also suffered from pride? Which one? Indra. Very good. Excellent. Indra. When the residents of Vrindavan, under the advice of Krishna, did not do the yearly Indra worship, Indra got very angry and said, who are these people of Vrindavan? They are under this control of this over-talkative child. Just see, Krishna is Indra's boss, and look how Indra is calling. Would you go to your boss like that tomorrow?
No.
Would you go to your boss and say, you over-talkative child? No. Out the door. Yes. So that's Indra. He's thinking. So Indra tried to punish the residents of Vrindavan, but Krishna saved them. How? How did Krishna save them?
By holding the Govardhan.
Yes, holding the Govardhan Hill. For how long?
For
no.
7 days.
7 days.
7 days.
And how many hands did he use?
A pinky. Just a pinky.
Yes, the little pinky of his left hand. Yes. There's that picture of Krishna holding. And was he struggling? Was he like that, holding up? How was he?
Very strong.
Yes, effortlessly. The example is given like a child holding up a mushroom.
This you can move. No. Everybody,
or else the new people can take up the... Or let the new people come. The people who came on time are already comfortable. See, that's why you're smart. You got the seats. Hari Bol. First come, first served. No. No. I said stay. You're one of my musicians. So Indra was defeated by Krishna when he lifted Govardhan Hill. So Indra had to come down and beg forgiveness. And when he begged forgiveness, Krishna told Indra, Indra, your power is only because of me. And if I like, I can take it away at any time. So remember that, Indra. You can continue to be Indra for this time. But remember, if I like, and if I see somebody is puffed up, I drag them down. So that's why Lord Chaitanya teaches us always to remain meek and humble. Remember, I was singing the song, why did Krishna leave the gopis of the Rasa dance? Because they became proud. Krishna does not like his devotees to become proud. Good, Nisringa Bhakta. Good. All right, we have a few more. The next one, Madha. Everybody say. Madha means, example here is Nalakuvara and Manigriva, the two sons of Kuvera. And they were allowed to sport in this very nice garden. But at this time, they were intoxicated. They had been drinking this heavenly liquor. And they were naked. And they were enjoying with young damsels. And that's not bad enough. All of a sudden, Narada Muni came walking by. And Nalakuvara and Manigriva were so intoxicated, they didn't do anything to cover themselves when Narada came by. The girls, they immediately covered themselves to show respect to the great sage Narada. But Nalakuvara and Manigriva, no, they were too intoxicated. So Narada Muni said, these two sons of Kuvera, they have gotten lots of material opulence, but it has made them crazy. So I have to benedict them. I have to punish them, and I have to benedict them. So Narada Muni said, they like to be naked? They should become trees. Let them be naked for hundreds of years. Trees don't wear clothes. So Narada cursed them. You become trees. But at the same time, it was a benediction. Because they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And it was Narada's plan that Nalakuvra and Manigriva would be delivered by? Very good. You're getting extra, you're marking down his points? He's doing really good today. So, when, here's my question, when did Krishna deliver Nalakuvra and Manigriva? When? Yes, after the Damodar Leela. Because after that, Yashoda tied up Krishna to the what? What's he? The grinding mortar. And then Yashoda went to do her household work. Because even if you're the mother of God, you have chores. Not that I'm the mother of God. Serve me. Give me. No. You're the mother of God. You have to work. The men like this. Yeah. Very good, Prabhuji. The wives have to work. So do the men. So, when Krishna was tied to the grinding mortar, Krishna was thinking, my mother thinks that now I can't do any more nonsense. Because what nonsense did Krishna do that made Yashoda tie him up? What was the nonsense Krishna had done? He broke the what? Pot, and also, what else?
Butter, right?
Yes. Yes, he was giving it to the monkeys. Krishna is very liberal, giving it to the monkeys. So he caused a big disturbance. So Krishna was thinking, my mother thinks that now I can't do any mischief. I'm going to do more mischief. Krishna looked out into the courtyard and he saw the two trees. He goes, oh, yes. Narada, those two trees are two demigod sons of Kubera, and Narada wants me to deliver them. So Krishna started to crawl. And as he crawled, he dragged the grinding mortar. And then the mortar got stuck between the trees, and Krishna has great power and strength, and he knocked down the trees. Out came the two demigods, and they offered prayers to Krishna, and they developed Krishna consciousness. Okay, we got a few more. The next one, Matsarya. Everybody say.
Matsarya.
Matsarya is envy. Now, envy is the original sin. Envy is why we're here in this material world. As soon as we give up envy, we can go back to the kingdom of God. So, two good examples of envy. One is Shishupal. And Shishupal was envious of Krishna from his birth. He was constantly blaspheming and criticizing Krishna. And especially Shishupal was envious of Krishna because Krishna did something to Shishupal. What did Krishna do to Shishupal that really made him envious? And so what happened? That's it. On his wedding day, he's about to marry the most beautiful goddess of fortune, Rukmini. And Krishna comes on his chariot, takes Rukmini, drives off. What? And what happened was, when Rukmini came out of the Durga temple, she was so beautiful, all the kings and princes fell off their horse. That's how beautiful she was. We have not seen such a beautiful woman. You're all beautiful. But not that beautiful. You're not causing traffic jams and accidents. But that's how beautiful Rukmini was. They all fell off their horses. And when Krishna, Shishupal didn't do anything, you would think he should have fought for her. He didn't do anything. The only person who chased after Krishna was?
Rukmini.
That's right. Rukmini made a vow. I will bring back my sister. I will take care of Krishna. You guys are all wimps. Let Krishna do this. I will take. But he was not successful. Then another example of envy was a friend of Shishupal's known as Shalva. Shalva also was envious of Krishna, especially because of this, and he wanted to do something for his friend Shishupal. So Shishupal attacked Dwaraka, and he had gotten this mystic airplane that could disappear. It could fly. It was like a big city, and it could disappear, appear, and fantastic. So at one point, he's fighting with Krishna, and Shalva has mystic powers. So he's fighting with Krishna, and Shalva produces Krishna's father, Vasudev. So Krishna sees that Vasudev, Krishna's father, is in Shalva's chariot, and Shalva cuts off his head. And Krishna is like, oh, my father. And Krishna became momentarily aggrieved. He started to cry because he loves his father. Don't you just love Krishna? He loves his father. But then the airship went away. But after a moment, Krishna said, wait a second. Where's the dead body? No. This is a magic trick of Shalva. And so right after that, Krishna went out to Shalva and killed him. And everything was okay. But Shalva was also very envious of Krishna. I think we have one more. Yes, you'll all get this one. So the last one is bhaya. Everybody say.
Bhaya.
That means fear. So who was afraid of Krishna throughout Kamsa? Yes, because he heard that omen. Kamsa, you fool. The eighth child of your sister will kill you. Immediately, Kamsa became afraid. Throughout the whole period, he was constantly thinking, Krishna is coming to get me. So he was always thinking of Krishna, but he was thinking of Krishna out of fear. We think of Krishna, what, out of fear? What? How do we think of Krishna? Out of love. Because we read about Krishna, and we like to hear all the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, we develop love for him. And we also develop love for him because it's natural to love Krishna. Actually, it's unnatural not to love Krishna. It's natural to love Krishna for two reasons. What are the two reasons why it's natural for anyone to love Krishna? What are the two reasons? Was that?
He's all attractive.
Okay, that's a third reason. There's two more reasons why it's, but that's good, I accept. What are the reasons why it's natural to love Krishna?
He's God.
Okay, fourth reason. It's acceptable. That's all attractive. There's something, two other things I'm thinking of. Part and parcel of Krishna. Yes, that's actually a very good answer. Better than the others. Very good, Levine. No, number four. Oh, is it number three? Okay, number three. Okay. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the other ones. But that's good, Levine. You're getting closer to the mark. How is it our nature? You're getting close.
Because he's the real Purusha.
Yeah, okay. All right. What's that?
Forever living. We're eternal.
We're eternal? Okay. Here are the answers I was looking for. Your answers are all correct. Okay. I would mark you right in the exam.
Here are the two reasons. Number one, where is Krishna living? In your heart, right? So is there anybody closer to you? No. Krishna's right there. You're in the heart, yes? And who's your next door neighbor? Krishna. He's Paramatma. He's in your heart. The other answer is that love of Krishna is part and parcel of the soul. So those are the two answers I was looking for. This is what Lord Chaitanya teaches. Love of Krishna is already there in the soul. It's simply been forgotten because of material consciousness. But it's already there. It's not something you have to learn. It's already there. Just like if you have a match, the potency of fire is there in the match. You just have to strike it. But the potency is there. So in the same way, within the soul is love of God. So it just has to be awakened. It's already there. It's natural. Okay? And then the other thing is, he's the closest thing to you. Your husband, wife, you can get this close. But Krishna is right there inside you. That's why during the Rasa dance, there was no problem. Instead of Krishna staying in the heart of the gopis, he came out and danced with them. There was no fault in Krishna. He already was in the heart of the gopis. He's already their husband. He just came out. That's all. What's the problem? All right. Now comes... Sakshi, you got to stay for this. I can't. Okay, everybody chant Japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Plenty of seating up front. Plenty of seating. We have... No, let the new people get in. Everybody's comfortable. I hate that thing. Don't move. Stay put. Come on. Come on. There's plenty of room. Right? You know? Right up front. You get front row seats. I wore cologne, so I'm okay. Okay. So, here is one of my favorite episodes from the Mahabharata. Are you ready to hear this? Only one person is ready. Thank you. Thank you, Naresh. Okay. So, the most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita is Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masuchaha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion. That's key. This is very interesting. Abandon all varieties of religion and instead just surrender to me. Then he says, I, Krishna, shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. Now, let's see how Karna fits into this verse. Are you ready? Now, what I would like to do is read this. So I need you to really pay attention, okay? All right? So this is after Krishna had gone to Hastinapur, after he had gone to Hastinapur and made a peace proposal. But the Kauravas were not interested in a peace proposal. So Krishna is going back to the Pandavas who are in the place known as the kingdom of Virat. So here we go. Before leaving, Krishna asked to speak privately with Karna. As he reached Hastinapur's southern gate around noon, He saw Karna waiting for him. Krishna stopped and asked Karna to mount his chariot with him. Wow. Who would like to be on the same chariot with Krishna? I would. Could you imagine tomorrow? Krishna says, come. Come on my chariot. So he asked Karna. He took Karna out of the city, speaking as they rode in the direction of Virat. Krishna considered Karna the most serious threat to the Pandavas in the coming war. Karna behind Krishna, chariot driver. So the chariot drivers are in the car behind. And the reason they did that was to give privacy to Krishna and Karna. So this is a confidential negotiation. Placing his hand on Karna's shoulder, who wants to be Karna? I need somebody to be Karna. Okay. Placing his hand on Karna's shoulder. How you doing, Karna?
Very well.
Krishna said, Karna, according to scripture, the child born of a mother before her marriage becomes her husband's son. You were born before your mother's marriage, and therefore you are a Pandu's son. The Pandavas are on your father's side, and the Vrishni on your mother's. You are related to both of these races. O hero, come with me and become the king. You hear what Krishna is just saying to Karna? Come with me. He's going to be the king. Now listen to this. I love this. Krishna, you're so cool. Krishna then says to you, the Pandavas will worship you as their elder brother. You will be anointed by the wives and daughters of kings with water from golden pots. This is the best one. At the proper time, Draupadi will approach you as a wife does her husband. Who would say no to that? Nobody. Your five brothers will follow behind you, just as the demigods follow Indra. I too shall follow you. Okay, if Krishna said that to you, would you surrender? Yeah. I too shall follow you, Karna, accompanied by the Andakas and the Vrishnis. Karna, rule over this earth. Let the bards and chanters sing your praises. Delight Kunti's heart and take your rightful place at the head of her sons. So, would you surrender to Krishna if he made this offer to you? If you were Karna? Who would surrender to Krishna? Yes. That's the whole idea. This is what Krishna is saying, surrender to me. That's what he's saying to Karna, surrender to me. And Krishna is going to also surrender. Let's see what Mr. Karna has to say. Karna looked into Krishna's smiling face. Surely Krishna knew everything, just as the sages had said. But it was difficult to accept his advice. Karna shook his head. You got to shake your head, no. Okay, good. Thank you. You got to play the role here. Okay, you want to win an Academy Award, you got to do this right. So this is what you say. Can you read? Do you read English?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Undoubtedly, your words mean for me good, O Keshava. I now know that I am Pandu's son. Kunti has told me everything, and she abandoned me. I was raised by Adirata and his wife. They have loved me as parents, have always seen me as their son. So, too, have I seen them as my parents. They perform all the necessary rituals in my life after adopting me. They later had more children, to whom I have become an elder brother. They even select my wives. I have conceived sons and daughters with whose wives. I cannot break those relationships, even to gain a heaven and earth. Nor, O Madhava, shall I break them out of fear.
So what is Karna not doing, according to that Bhagavad Gita verse?
Surrender.
He's not surrendering, and he's also not what? He's not abandoning all varieties of religion. He's giving moral reasons. But that Bhagavad Gita verse says, abandon all religious moral codes and do what instead? Surrender to Krishna. Not just surrender to anybody. This is the key point. Krishna says, surrender to me. Don't worry about morality. Just surrender to me. So Karna is failing. Karna felt righteous. Look righteous. Yes. Following Krishna's advice would mean transgressing proper behavior. He gazed ahead at the rolling countryside. Gaze out at the rolling countryside. Gaze out. Gaze out. There's the rolling countryside. Very good. Okay, now you got to continue.
For 13 years, I have enjoyed
sovereignty.
Only due to Duryodhana's favors. I owe him much. Depending on me, he has formed an enmity with the Pandavas. I have been chosen to face Arjuna in combat. If I back down now, then I will become infamous. O Keshava, I cannot let myself be labeled as a coward, nor can I prove myself disloyal to Duryodhana. If I were given the world to rule, I would immediately give it to Duryodhana. How could I live with the Pandavas after all that Duryodhana has done for me?
So again, he's giving moral, righteous reasons. But that Bhagavad Gita verse says, abandon that. That's what he should have done. Let's continue. You're doing an excellent job, Karna. Give him a hand. He needs a little encouragement. Because this is unrehearsed. Karna reflected on his feelings toward the Pandavas. He respected Yudhishthir, Bhima, and even the twins. Who were the twins?
Nakula.
Very good, Naresh. Good. His hatred for Arjuna owed its origins to the day when he had been refused entry into Drona's school. When he came again to Hastinapur to compete in the exhibition, Drona had not even recognized him as the boy he had turned away years earlier. Drona had told him back then that he only accepted royal princes in his school. Karna was a chariot driver's son. Burning with shame, he had gone away, vowing vengeance. Defeating Drona's best student, Arjuna, would be the best way to exact that revenge. So it wasn't really against Arjuna. The real target was Drona. As soon as he had seen Arjuna in the arena, His heart had filled with envy, the original sin, folks. Envy. That envy had never waned. Wow. Throughout his whole life, he's envious. Soon, it would explode into a fight to the death. There was no other course for him now. Okay, Karna, this is, make it your, okay.
Oh, Krishna, I do not hold much hope for our victory. I shall not change sides now. I know Yudhisthira is virtuous and pure mind. He will preside over the coming battle sacrifice, in which Dhritarashtra's son will be the sacrifice animal. The Pandavas are pious men who deserve to rule the earth. The harsh words I spoke to them and their wife previously were only for Duryodhana's pleasure.
Who is their wife? Draupadi. Go on.
Remembering them now, I am filled with remorse.
Go ahead.
Still, I will fight Arjuna, or Keshava. That is my duty as a moral man. And like a Kshatriya, it's likely that I will
die. Yes.
Because I don't see the Kauravas winning. This dispute will end when Arjuna kills me and Bhima kills Duryodhana. This battle will be so great that I will remember as long as the mountains stand.
Is this battle still remembered now?
Yeah.
5,000 years?
Oh my God, yeah.
So, Karna is a mystic. He knows the future. Go ahead.
It cannot be stopped.
Krishna laughed. Do you not desire to rule the earth, O hero? Will you not peacefully accept the kingdom in the way I have indicated? Without doubt, the Pandavas' victory will soon follow. When you see the five brothers coming out for battle, know that the terrible age of Kali is approaching. Many men will be destroyed. Now, go back to Hastinapur and tell Drona and Kripa to make ready. It will be the full moon in 7 days. The kings, let the battle begin on that day. The kings under Duryodhana's leadership will soon meet an excellent death at the edge of weapons. So, Karna had so many good, moral, righteous reasons, but Krishna is telling us in that verse, abandon that and just surrender to him. That is for every one of us. Every one of us. Meditate on this. So the story ends. Karna could not understand Krishna's purpose. Why was he acting him to defect now? Ultimately, it would make little difference to the outcome of the battle. Destiny had, it seemed, already determined everything. Karna looked at Krishna, who sat with his long black hair flowing in the wind. Oh, this is you, Karna, you're back.
Why do you confuse me, O Keshava? Why would you lead me to folly? You know everything. The destruction of the world is at hand. With Duryodhana, Sakuni, Dushasana, and myself as its root cause. It will be, as you say, and no other way, O Krishna. We have already seen the omens which portend Duryodhana's defeat. I even saw the Pandavas in a dream, coming out of the fight successful. I saw Yudhisthira clothed in white silk, swallowing the herd. He and his brothers ascend a palace of 1,000 pillars. You were plus there, also there, O Madhava, by Arjuna's side. On the other hand, the Kauravas and all their followers, wearing blood-colored robes, were going south towards Yamaraj's abode. And a countless other warriors will soon enter the Gandiva fire. I know it for certain.
Krishna looks sadly toward Karna. This will surely come to pass, Karna, since you do not seem prepared to accept my advice. When destruction is at hand, my dear friend, wrong appears right and remains in the heart. What more can I say? So that's key. Krishna is saying, you're not prepared to accept my advice, therefore, wrong appears right. That's called illusion. So Krishna is giving this. This is perfect explanation of that Bhagavad Gita verse. Karna bowed his head slightly. Bowed down slightly. Now read.
If I somehow survive the battle, I will see you again, O Krishna. We will meet in heaven. It now seems to me that I will see you only there, O sinless one.
So what does Karna think of Krishna? Does Karna have respect for Krishna? Does Karna have a